The sound of the elk bugle means at least one of us had a successful hunt.
One of us.
At least one of us.
So far.
Welcome to the Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast, Season 2, Episode 6, and number 25.
25.
We can't do the countdown counter to bow season anymore because we're already in bow season. So we'll do the countdown on the episodes. BBH is proud to be associated with different brands that we support and use: RTS Sports, Garmin, Scent Crusher, Backyard Q&A, and Whitetail Institute, Imperial Bow Stand, just to name a handful.
Yeah.
Did you see the story out of Florida with the lady who was stuck in her car that was submerged in water?
No.
You didn't see that? Saw it on Fox News, I guess it was. Basically, they had a lot of flooding down there in the Port Orange area, wherever that's at.
Okay.
And a pizza delivery driver, female, got confused and turned left directly into a canal because the water level was basically the same as the road.
Wow.
So she was confused and didn't know where she was going and ended up submerged in water. And they had the whole video because, of course, you know, people, instead of trying to help, are out there with their cell phones out recording this whole thing.
Yeah.
And three Port Orange police officers responded to the crash and found that the woman was trapped inside the vehicle as it was sinking deeper into the water. And on the video, you see them, they actually, the officers enter the water, break out the rear window, and they're yelling at this lady. I mean, there's not much of her cab showing at this point.
No.
You know, you can see just a foot or so in there.
Yeah.
And they're yelling at her that she has to figure out how to get through her car and out that back window. And they ended up pulling her out of the sinking car.
Golly.
It was pretty intense, just the couple of minutes on the video that they showed. Yeah, it was pretty intense. So those three Port Orange police officers, and I do not know their names.
Yeah.
They weren't published anywhere that I could find. Are blue line badasses.
There are definitely blue line badasses to jump into that.
Yeah. I didn't see John Q. Public doing it.
No, absolutely.
In the video.
They
I
were
saw
just
the
recording.
Officers doing
yeah.
It.
They were trying to get some likes on their Facebook.
Therefore, if you have, and you, I'm sure you do, somebody out here in the listening audience personally knows a policeman of some sort, right?
Yeah.
If you have a frontline blue line hero that you want to nominate, they can be active duty, retired, or deceased. Submit to backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com with blue line badass in the subject line, and we will get them on the air.
And they don't have to have like some fabulous feat that they accomplished. Just doing their job every day, to me, is enough of a feat.
You betcha. They suit up and go to work. That's a badass.
Yeah. Damn straight.
Totally.
Totally.
And let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bowhunter. And now, it's time to go full draw with your hosts, Tim Jarvis and Mike Edgen.
Welcome back to the heart of Backwoods Country. We're in the Whiskey and Whitetails podcast studio.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
We'll go with that.
Yeah.
Here in good old Southern Illinois, we trying out some new audio, new headphones, new everything, new recording program. So if it sounds like shit, let me know. And if it sounds good, then great.
Yeah. You can let us know that too.
That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. You just don't have to be like, wow, it sounded like shit. What, the audio? No, you too.
Right. we're going to go straight into the woods with BBH because we got a lot of hunts to talk about. And I think that I am going to sit over here and shut the fuck up. And me and Caleb, if he's listening, we're just going to count how many times you say you know what I mean and let you have at it.
I'm going to go with probably at least three. You know what I mean?
Okay. Over, under on three.
That don't count. That was just a sarcastic one.
Over, under on three.
All right.
You dropped an Illinois stud.
Yeah.
Yep. It was... So fire away, man.
All right.
Tell the story.
Okay, here we go. took my trip up to Crete that we do every year with Todd. Mikey went with me. Tyler bitched out, backed out.
Did he?
He was sick.
Oh, I thought he was there.
He was sick. No, he was sick.
He's county is that, by the way?
That is Will County.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not quite Cook County, which is good. Will County's still kind of, you know, respectable. So we get out there, and we get out there Thursday afternoon. We go out Thursday night, you know, pretty dead. Mikey had a couple does come in front of him, but that was about it. We go out Friday to no avail. You know what I mean? It was pretty dead Friday. You know, a couple hearing stuff, hearing things chasing maybe, but we're not sure. But it was pretty dead. Saturday, I'm in the stand that I was in. It was exactly 365 days from when I shot the one up there last year. It was November 5th, same day as last year. But last year was a morning hunt. This was a night hunt. It was about, 5 o'clock, had about another hour of daylight, and this thing come walking out to the right of me about 25 yards away, but there's only a little bit of a clearing over there, so he was in and out like that. You know, he was gone, and I was like, oh, shit. And he's walking through the cattails, and all I see is his antlers above the cattails. I don't see him, but I see antlers coming up, you know, over the cattail. So he's heading right to where I had J&S in a tree. I had J&S doe and heat in a tree in a wick, and he's heading right through that stuff. But he kind of stopped and kind of turned like he was going to go away. So I let one fly from there through the cattails. Not very smart shot. You know what I mean? But I'm seeing antlers. I'm seeing him, but not clear. Okay. He's not fully clear, but I'm seeing him. So I let one go. And he kind of jumped into the woods. It got quiet for a minute. So I thought, okay, he fell right there. I, of course, did put another arrow, knocked another arrow up real quick because I'm not dumb. And I'm waiting. And I see these antlers coming back out through the cattails. I was like, son of a bitch. You know, I said, if I hit him, it wasn't, you know what I mean? Something that's going to kill him instantly. So I gave him a few seconds and he was heading out. Like he wasn't going to be in my, so I picked up the grunted one time and he turned and head straight back down the path that he walked in on. So I knew I had that about 10-foot clearing that he was going to hit. So I got ready. When he got close, I drew back. He popped up. He stopped for me. Didn't even have to give him the, you know, the old meh. Didn't have to do it. Wanted to, but didn't. He stopped dead for me and thump, popped him. And I seen the arrow in him. This dud did not take off running. He just bucked up a little bit and walked away. And I'm watching my arrow flashing, you know, because I've got the nocturnals on there. I'm watching my arrow flash as this big bastard's walking away. Not running, just walking. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way he ain't dead. I seen where that hit. I seen the arrow flashing, but I mean, so I gave it about half hour. I went down. I kind of walked till I seen first blood, and then I backed out. I said, okay, we'll wait on him. So I backed out, and in that time frame, Todd had shot one. So we all met back at the truck about 45 minutes later. Then we went out after him, and we're walking through the woods, and we jumped him up. Well, we heard him jump up.
Both of them?
Huh? No, just we were on different sides of the street. Todd was on one side of the street. I was on the other side of the street. It's kind of a weird property. It sounds funny saying there's a street in the middle, but it's true. And cars driving back and forth. So we head in. We hear him jump up. We're not 100% positive it's him yet. You know what I mean? Because it could be just another deer coming through the woods at that time. So we kept going a little bit farther. We're still on blood. I mean, there's blood everywhere with this thing. And we get up again. And this time, Mikey actually sees it jump. And he takes off. So I'm like, all right, let's just hang out here for about 10, 15 minutes. Because he'd get up, he'd boom, 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 and crash. You know what I mean? So you know he was right there at the end. I said, let's give it about 10, 15 minutes, see if we hear anything. You know, see if we hear a move or anything like that. So we waited about 10, 15 minutes, just sat there BSing. We walk up to that spot. You know, we start walking up that way again. And he is, the right side of his antlers are wedged in between two trees. And he wasn't done. He wasn't moving anymore because he could not get up any longer. He was wedged in between those two trees. So we're like, none of us brought the bow. You know what I mean? Because his woods are super thick out there. I mean, there's just no way you can go through there with a bow. Because half the time you're crawling on the ground to get underneath shit. So I'm like, didn't bring my backpack because it's so thick, you know, so I didn't have my knife on me. I was just planning on grabbing a deer and dragging it out of these woods. So I was debating on going back, getting my knife and just ending it. But while we were standing there, you know, the back leg started going and it stopped. So Todd walks over and he hits it in the head with a stick. He's like, it's done. I'm like, ah, Todd, I ain't touching it yet. That son of a bitch is big. And if he's not dead, he's wounded and he's pissed. Todd's like, oh, just grab this side of the rack and we'll lift him up. I'm like, Todd, if we do that and he has one more burst in him, I'm getting gored. Ain't happening. So Todd goes back, he kicks his ass, he goes, God damn it, the thing's dead. He's kicking its ass and it was dead. So we finally pulled it out of the tree. At one point when the legs started kicking, Mikey steps back two steps, hits a log, almost wipes out. If he'd have fell, it would have made the story just that much better.
You know, there's some consistency with him wiping out.
He's eating a lot of shit, I'll tell you that. He's pretty unorthodoxed. So we pull him out.
How hard was that, by the way? I mean, the pictures you showed me, he looked like he was wedged pretty good.
He was in there, yeah. I had to, like, get from the backside and from the top of one of the other antlers and, like, pull him out. You know what I mean? Like, we had to, like, lift and then twist him out of the tree because it's a weird-looking tree the way it, like, they, like, crossed right at that point. And he managed to get right in between those two logs, I guess you can call it. So we pulled him out, straightened him out, and then the good thing was, though, is the two times that we jumped him up, he headed straight towards Todd's truck. So instead of having to drag him about 50, 60, 70 yards, we had to take him about 30 yards, 20 yards. So it worked out a lot, maybe a little bit farther. But if we had to get him from where he first jumped up, it would have been probably, like I said, 75 to 100-yard trail. This one ended up being about 30. So, but he kept running straight towards the truck. I'm looking on the OnX. I'm like, he's heading right towards the truck. I said, let's just let him sit for a few minutes. If we bump him up again, he'll get closer to the truck.
He'll just jump up in the bed of it for you.
Yeah, eventually he'll just end up right across the street in front, just laid out, ready to be field dressed. Now, speaking of field dressing, when we took him, field dressed, that son of a bitch weighed 211 pounds. That's a beast.
That's a big deer.
Yeah.
Where'd you hit him? Because it looked like in one of the pictures you sent, it looked like he was hitting the chest.
Well,
like you almost had a full frontal on.
That's where it like came through.
Okay.
It came like right back of the shoulder and like, I don't know if it hit what it hit, but it went straight out that way. Cause he was broadside of me. It wasn't angled or anything. So I still can't figure out where it came, you know, how it did that. Like where it came out, it was right at the chest. And I mean, it was just sliced open, but where it went in was like right at the shoulder, give or take, you know what I mean? Great shot? No. But it did the trick. But it looked like it might have hit that shoulder or something and then twisted that arrow. And that's why I kept seeing it, you know, because it was that quick and it popped out. So
I was just fully expecting to give you some razz over. It looked like you drilled him right in the chest, like he was walking straight towards you or something.
No. I would have been more comfortable with the finished product if that was the case. Like, hey, look where I had to put that, right there. Right. You know, no, yeah. No. I got the shoulder or something, and it twisted. It must have turned that arrow. Because when I got it, the nocturnal was broke on it. It was just the light left. Like, the whole knock was gone, just the light was left. The broadhead was gone. The arrow was still full, but, like I said, the nocturnal was broke off. So, I mean, it just, I think it's the way it twisted. I mean, obviously the rage did its trick, but it didn't quite go where I wanted it to go. But long story short, it ended that bad boy.
Did you ever find your first arrow that you launched into the cattails?
No.
Mm-mm. Really?
Yeah.
Even with nocturnals on it?
Yeah. When I say it's thick back there, I am not joking. I'm talking foot and a half, 2 feet on the ground of laid down tall grass. You know what I mean? And then there's water. It's like a little swampy area right there.
And you never found another injury on the deer itself, right? So you're assuming you just completely
We did.
Missed. Oh, okay.
I did, like I said, I didn't really inspect it too much. I was too excited about the deer itself to really get deep into the other one. Now, there was a cut right underneath the, like, in the arm. And I don't know if that was from all of jumping up, him falling, right. You know what I mean? Because there was another hole on the other side, but there's no way that was where my arrow went in because it was a small hole. So I'm thinking that was from him falling down on a branch or something penetrated them somewhere in there. But yeah, so I'm not really sure. I went out the next morning after we got done hunting, and I walked all in that area, and I couldn't find it anywhere. You know, I mean, maybe the nocturnal didn't go off. And of course I have the camera mounted right on my bow. Didn't hit play. Didn't hit record. No.
Naturally.
We got over, and Mikey's like, well, let's take a look at the footage on the camera. I'm like, well, let's put it this way. Daddy didn't hit play or hit record. So yeah, we completely missed all of that.
Yeah, that happens.
But yeah, it was a bittersweet ending to the tracking job.
How many points are we looking at here? It's hard to tell by your picture.
It is. There's a couple small ones. I don't know if they quite go an inch. It's looking 11. The other ones, if they're measured and they come out an inch, it'll be a 13.
And do you have a generic score?
The guy at
I'm trying to compare it to the two that I have sitting over, the 10 and the 14 sitting on the floor. I'm trying to compare it to that. One's a 150, the other one's a 155.
The guy was thinking, he's looking at it, and he's saying probably 145, 155, somewhere in there. You know what I mean? Just a quick.
And 145 seems small to me.
That's what I thought, too, because the one
especially
I brought in
with
last
year. The mass to it. I mean, yeah. Those antlers aren't skinny. You know?
Yeah, no. But he said probably 145, 155, because he said that it loses points. I don't know how they score properly, but he says that it loses points for some of that junk that's on there. So if you take those points away, I mean, maybe it, clean 150, 160, after you take away the junk, maybe 145, 155. But, yeah. I mean, he didn't really get time. I mean, they had another guy right behind us and another guy waiting out in his truck to get in there, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, no way, stretch or form, an official scorer, but I've seen enough of them to have a general idea. And that 150 and an eighth laying right there was officially scored. And this one seems bigger than that one. So I was going to guess a 155, 160.
Yeah.
But that's just a shot in the dark.
Well, I'm hoping he's wrong on the 145, and I'm hoping it definitely hits that 155 to your potential 160 mark.
Cool. Good deal.
Yeah.
What did Todd drop?
Well, it was a doe.
I thought you said a him a minute ago.
No. Oh, okay. It was a her. Okay. Yeah, it was a her. We did not find that one. Yeah.
Oh, no.
When Mikey was walking out of the woods, he said there was a deer sitting there looking at him, and he was going to shoot it, you know. And because we did get out a little before dark, so, I mean, it wasn't after legal shooting time, so, I mean, he still was able to shoot it. And he saw it looking at him, so he's like, okay. So he's getting his bow out, you know, he's getting his, you know, getting an arrow knocked in, and it jumped up and took off. He didn't see any wound, you know what I mean? He wasn't really paying attention because he probably, you know, borderline shit his pants when the thing jumped up at him. So it jumped up, took off, so he knew which direction it went. So when we went back to look, that's where we started. It was right where Mikey saw that deer just to see if it was it. And there was blood there. So we followed blood over, you know, a little bit once we got mine out of the woods, and we kind of tucked it away because we didn't want no one to pull up and, you know, hey, look at that, snatch it. Because it was close to Chicago. So, you know, you got to watch yourself. So we go look for his deer, and we go to where the blood was. It cuts across the path, comes through. There's blood on bushes on both sides. You know what I mean? Or on one side, there's blood on these bushes. We get through those bushes, and we don't see a drip. Nothing. So I don't know. We couldn't figure out which direction it went from there. Because once we got in there, there's only really between trees and really, really thick shit where if it would have went through, you would have seen something, you know, some kind of opening. So only three ways it could have went right there, and each one of us hit one of those paths and just, you know, did the whole sweep and look and couldn't find another drip.
Did he think he had a clean hit?
He said he thought so. He said he wasn't sure. He said it jumped, you know, popped up real quick. But I think, you know, whether you shoot it in the ass or whether you shoot it in the face or shoot it in the guts, it's going to jump, you know. So, I mean, can't really tell by it jumping, but I mean, I guess he felt comfortable. He's also got a Tacticam mounted on the front of his bow that he forgot to hit record on too, which probably would have helped out a lot because we could have looked and been like, no go.
I'm glad you guys spent a couple $100 on those Tacticams.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've got the shit out of deer in front of me that I won't shoot on the Tacticam because I pick it up and I hit record and I'll watch them for a few minutes. And yeah, but this one, I was like, I got to get this big boy. And I had plenty of time. because when it walked, you know, when it started walking out, it was nowhere near me. I could have picked up the bow, hit record, and got it all ready, picked up the grunt, done my thing, and had him come back, but just didn't dawn on me.
Yeah.
Fully charged, ready to go.
Well, naturally.
Yeah. I'll get some more deer on it, just not when they're, you know, when I don't want to shoot them. You know, I'll be like, oh, look at these deer. I'm not going to shoot these. These are too small. That's when I'll record it.
So Mikey had no success, I take it?
No. Mikey really only saw those two does. He had a couple that he heard in the thick stuff chasing, but he never, you know, they never popped out. He tried grunting. He tried rattling a little bit, trying to get their attention. But he also had another guy, like, across the street. We'll call him Asshole. Kind of like your neighbors back here, you know what I mean? Just someone just aggravates the shit out of you. But he was rattling so damn loud, it was ridiculous. Like, I mean, this dude was, like, going off. I mean, I'm hunting way the hell on the opposite side of the woods across the street, and I hear this asshole rattling. I was like, you guys, you know, I sent a text message to Todd and Mike, you guys hear that? Mike was like, yeah, how can I not hear it?
Jeez.
So it was that guy. So apparently, I don't know if he,
did
you know.
Did my neighbor go up there with you?
It's a good possibility
really
he showed
neighbor,
up.
Not really a neighboring property, I should say.
Yeah. It's a good possibility he may have showed up.
Yeah. Well, good. Keep him up there.
No.
I'd appreciate it.
But I thought it was pretty cool, though, that it was exactly 1 year to the date on the last two deer that I killed up there.
That is cool.
Yeah.
And this one's bigger.
This one's definitely bigger.
Yeah. It's a stud, man. I've got it pulled up on my phone, and it's a nice deer. Proud
of
you.
Thank you.
Congrats.
Made me cry a little bit. Coming from you, that means something, Tim.
Will you do me a favor?
What?
Will you turn around and flip those toggle switches on that heater, because I am cooking in here.
Yeah. Do that.
Please. And while you're doing that, I will roll into how your 12-year-old has turned into a straight-up killer.
So yeah.
He's dropped another one.
Yes, he did, Monday morning. Now, to be fair, he has a doctor's appointment for his foot. So we had to go get x-rays done, but it's not anything he can't walk on. It's something that as he walks on it, the more active he gets, it starts to hurt. And then it, you know, that's when the problem comes in. So we did have a doctor's appointment. So it's not like I let him play hooky just to hunt, because that would be a terrible dad thing to do.
Right. Yeah, no, can't do that.
Yeah. But yeah, he laid down another one.
Good. Awesome.
And perfect shot. I mean, I was very happy.
That's two does and a buck. That's a freezer full.
Yeah. Yeah. We're loaded up right now.
So what's the goal for the rest of the hunting season?
See what comes in. You know, play it by ear. I'd still like to let Jimmy get a shot at a buck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get his first one. So I'll probably be focusing most of my time on going out with him. Like this weekend, it'll probably be all about him. You know what I mean? Of course I'll have my bow, but you know, I told him, like, normally when I take him, I don't take my shit at all. I'd bring my backpack. This way I've got my knife and all that stuff. But I don't take my bow because I don't want that big old double drop time deer walking in and tell Jimmy, okay, hold
on. You shove him out of the stand.
This one's dad's. We'll wait for the baby to come in. No, it ain't going to be that way. Whatever comes in is his. So I don't even take my stuff.
Yeah. So I don't either when I take Elena.
Yeah. So I figure this weekend I might take him out again. And, you know, I mean, if we get one, you know, that you can do donation deers. We know a lot of people that do eat the deer meat that don't hunt as much or don't hunt at all, you know, that would take it. You know, all I do is I'd let them know, hey, I got a deer. And if they want it, you know, I'll bring it to the processing center for them and take care of it. Like Jimmy's, I did the first one he shot. I did it all myself that day. I just took it. We cleaned it and we took all the meat off his, because the first one he shot wasn't really that big. You know, I mean, it was probably a year old. You know what I mean? It wasn't big. So I took that one. I got the back straps off, took the shoulders off, took the hindquarters off. You know what I mean? I didn't get really picky on every little last ounce of meat. But, I mean, we got, you know, all the meat off it that I really, you know. But this one we took to the processing center because I was not about to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was done.
Go to Webb's.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Did take that one to Webb's.
Yeah. Let me ask you something.
What you got?
Did you utilize scent crusher?
Yeah. I've actually got pictures with the scent crusher.
You do, but I didn't know if that was just a photo op or if it was an actually used product.
That was a used product. Yeah.
Bam. Y'all need to check out scent crusher if you haven't already. Mike and I
Yes.
Firmly believe in their product line. Scent Crusher is an easy and effective way to eliminate all smells and odors before, during, and after your hunt. From their soap to laundry detergent, Ozone Go, room clean products, the gear bags are badass. I need to get the standing closet bag. That's what I want.
That is pretty neat looking.
Scent Crusher will eliminate smoke, food, pet, and other undesirable odors in your vehicle, home, hunting room, whiskey and whitetail podcast studio.
Yeah.
Scent Crusher.
Scent off. Game on.
Unless you're tracking the blood trail on a whitetail, tune in for more of the Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast.
Well, Mike, I don't have a kill. I didn't put a dirt. I didn't put a deer on the dirt. You know what I meant.
Yeah.
But I did hunt hard, and yeah, I had a lot of fun. Had a couple opportunities that I passed.
Yeah.
So, just going off my notes, on Thursday the 4th, evening hunting,
yeah,
November 4th, and I think I jumped in a little too early on this commercial here.
A little bit.
Still here. That's okay. Thursday the 4th, I saw seven, had four does and three bucks, but all three of the bucks were year and a halfs.
You know, yeah.
They were born spring of 20. Didn't really get any shots because of the way this goofy weather has been around here. A lot of my thicker, greener, you know, just thicket type stuff is usually much more bare and, mm-hmm, and shoot throughable than it is right now. It's still green and thick, and it just seemed like all seven of them just happened to be on that side of the thicket where I just didn't have that shot. I wasn't slinging one through the cattails like you said earlier. I did have one interesting buck that I haven't seen, though. He's not been on any of my cameras. He was all kinds of funkered up. His left side was like a blade. And at the top of the blade, it forked maybe inch and a half, 2 inches at the top. You know, okay. A little fork of it. And then his right side was a standard three. Everything normal on that side. So a blade on the left and a standard three on the right. So I don't know if I need to cull that deer out of here if I get the chance. That's the one and only time I've ever seen him. I've never been on a camera.
Well, if you don't get him, I know who will.
Yeah. He'll die the gun season.
Yeah, and that'll be a monster. Look at this thing. Look at this big-ass five-pointer. God dang.
Yep. So that pretty well summarized my Thursday evening hunt. A lot of deer activity. It was still cold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And things were good. Friday morning, I went out. I don't usually like to hunt the morning here because I've just never had much success. I think, gosh, in all the years I've hunted this, coming up on 12, I believe I've killed a doe out here on a morning hunt.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know why. You know, just, they don't move through here a lot. So what they do is that they come from the property across the highway.
Yeah.
And I think that's where they bed. And then they come through over here on mine, on the, what would be the east side. They come through over there, and then they'll come out to the either my food plot or my pond, because that's their water source. But then their path continues, and they end up on the neighbors to the south that we have talked about a lot. And then in the evening time, they come back same direction. So I knew I was kind of wasting my time, but you never know. So I came out here and I sat till probably 9:45 in the morning, and I was like, forget this, I got other stuff to do. So never saw a deer. Now I saw a whole herd of Clydesdales.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they came straight from Grant's Farm or Anheuser-Busch. They freaking gray squirrels everywhere, and they sounded like a herd of Clydesdale horses out there, man. So that was my Friday morning. Friday evening, I went back out, and I got out to my stand that I out, you know, a little further into the timber there, and I saw that jacked up buck again and about four other does, but I did have a doe pop out. She came in from behind me to my left, and I had her 28 yards, I think it was, 30 yards, we'll round up, perfectly broadside, head to the ground, absolutely clueless that I was there.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I stared at her for a minute, and I got to thinking, this was Friday night, so I knew that I still had to go to Marion. So if you haven't listened to all these shows, I own a running store, and we put on races. And we had a 10-mile race that we were doing Saturday morning, the next morning. Well, all of our race packets, shirts, bib numbers, all that pickup was going on at the store. So in my mind, I'm milling around. Okay, I've still got to get to the store and pick all that stuff up, get it back to here, get it loaded into the trailer. I have to get up early in the morning, about 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 in the morning, to get to the race site, get everything set up for that. So in my brain, I'm thinking, if I shoot this doe, now I've got to add to it, field dressing her, either cutting her up myself or getting her to the processor, one or the other. Can I even get her to the processor? It may be too late. It may be closed. And then I have to wait till Saturday, and I'm not going to be able to do it Saturday because we had the race Saturday morning. Plus, I had the honor flight Saturday afternoon. So I'm like, I can't do it. Now, if it were a quality buck, I would have said, to hell with it. I'll just lose sleep.
I'll sacrifice.
But this doe, I'm like, I'm just going to let her walk. So I let her walk. But, I mean, it was still cool. You know, that was my Friday. Monday, by the time I got the kids picked up from school and got home and did my scent crusher
routine. Yeah.
We'll go with that. I was going to say scent crusher washing my nuts, but we'll go with routine.
Less vulgar.
Yeah. By the time I got out here and got dressed, because I get dressed inside this podcast room, there were already deer out in the field. And I'm like, shit. You know, so.
Yeah.
I'm like, the hell with it. I'm hunting. You know, I'm going to push them off, but I'm hunting. So I started heading out there, and of course it chased them south. Well, the stand that I wanted to hunt was the one further back there to the south in the timber. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to run the gamble of pushing them further, so I just stopped at the field line at the one that I have maybe 50 yards into the woods off the field there.
Yeah.
And hunted that one. That night, I'm sitting there doing my thing, probably watching the Clydesdales, and I just happened to catch a glimpse of something to my left. So I snap my head real quick, and I see a buck, and he's head down, and he's pushing hard. Well, I didn't see the doe in front of him that he was pushing.
Mm.
Somehow I missed her.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't miss me. So she was running straight towards me, stopped, looked up at me, and then did a complete U-turn, and poof, gone. So I don't know if it was my head snapping because I caught that glimpse, and she saw that, because I mean she was pointed directly at me as she was running from him, and that's all I can figure is just that head snap, and she was like, whoa, what's going on?
Yeah,
and blew out of there, and those were the only two I saw. Now at this point in time, we're back into the 70s again, and so I went from seeing a bunch of deer, And then the weather warmed up to 75, I think, a couple days ago.
It was pretty warm. I didn't even go out Monday night. Luckily, Jimmy shot that one in the morning. Monday. Going to bed.
And I'm like, damn, you know, and as soon as that weather flipped, all of a sudden my deer activity out here is just completely shut off.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing hardly squat until I came out here earlier to set up this podcast room for today. And I saw a bunch of them out there this morning. But it's been weird how the weather affected it.
Well, this weekend, it's supposed to drop back down. I know Friday is supposed to be 31, 33.
Of course, because we leave tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, you'll be in the Bahamas. It won't be in the 30s there, will it?
No, it won't.
I'll let you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll send pictures.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So that was Monday. Last night, I hunted again. The only deer I saw was a spike buck. Again, I had him. Well, let me start with this. I saw him. He came from behind me, the same direction the doe I had broadside. And I thought it was a doe. It may have been the same doe, you know. I just turned around and looked, saw the movement. I'm like, that's a doe. I'm killing her. So I'm sitting there and I'm getting ready. Again, it's over my shoulder, so I don't have a whole lot of movement with my head. I'm just waiting on her to kind of broadside me. So the deer gets to my broadside and I look over at it to get ready to stand up, and it's not a doe. It's a buck.
Huh.
This is a little spike.
Yeah.
Year and a half old spike, maybe. So I'm like, well, nope. Let him go. And then that was the only deer I saw. And then I climb down at dark, and I'm heading back up here to this room here, and I see flashing lights out on the highway. So I'm like, somebody must have gotten a wreck or something. So
yeah.
Shortly thereafter, I get a text from Officer Searcher of the Heron Police Department, who says, I don't know if you care or if you want it, but somebody ran over a little spike buck. It's out here about 50 yards. he said north, but it's actually west of where you turn into the property here. I'm like, damn, had I been able to, I went out there and looked earlier today, it's that deer.
Yeah.
Had I been able to envision its future,
yeah,
I would have went ahead and stuck it. That way I would have at least got the meat from it instead of it just being a roadkill out there in the ditch.
Preventing someone's car and insurance to go up.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much on you then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, good deal. Wear it. I'll take it.
Sleep with that. I got a question for you. I know right now, like, if you're watching like anything on not YouTube, but anything on Facebook, like the Southern Illinois page for hunting videos, you know what I mean? Like you see bucks chasing does head down, you know what I mean? But when I'm out, I saw two giant groups of does when I was out with Jimmy that morning. We had a group of four come in and a group of six come in. And they weren't sketchy. They were all still grouped up. Usually, when the rut's really on, you don't get big groups of does like that because they've already been scattered, you know? So I maybe I'm just not, you know, a hunter extraordinaire to where I know everything. But my thing is that these groups of does are still in big groups like that. To me, that makes me feel like the rut really hasn't gone in yet, like full blown. Mm-hmm. But I watch some videos where these bucks are down and they're, you know, they're going, you know?
Yeah. Well, the best I can offer is every doe is going to hit its estrus cycle at a different time. So like that buck that I was just referring to a minute ago, that where the doe spotted me, that was chasing her, he was chasing her hard.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like full blown. That was he was on her trail. But the ones that I had seen before that were kind of half-assed chase. You push them a little bit.
Yeah.
Not necessarly running them.
Mm-hmm. Was it a young buck, though, too?
Because I
always heard that the young bucks, you know, they fire up first.
Yeah.
You know, they get a little stupid first.
Yeah, he was a little four-corn-looking thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
kind of like teenagers, mm-hmm. you know, constantly walking around thinking, hey, let's go.
Right.
As opposed to us more mature bucks, we're just like, oh, fuck.
Let's not toss around the mature word too much.
Is it that time of the year again? God dang it. I got to do it again. You know?
I'm officially on vacation, so I'm already hitting the whiskey here as we record. So does that, I don't know if that's mature.
Yeah.
Those might be bad decisions.
Alyssa would think different on that.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It's not a beer, though.
I did it for Alyssa.
Because she did say that you cracking a beer at 10, 11 a.m. is a problem.
Mm-hmm.
She did not say anything in that comment about drinking a glass of whiskey.
You make a good point.
Yeah. So maybe you have gotten better. Maybe you are more mature now.
Well, when we get... I don't want to refer to myself as mature ever.
That's a big old maybe.
Yeah. So when we when we get back from our vacation, I'm coming in right in the middle of the gun season, so I'll get back and have to wait it out a couple days.
Yeah.
And then see what happens and
see
what dodo birds behind us tear up while I'm gone.
I'm just saying, Tim, at some point in life, you got to put the foot down and be like, hey, we can go to the Bahamas at any point, just not during the rut.
I know.
At some point. And I get it. We talked last week. It's not actually your fault. It's somebody else's fault that invited you.
Right, and they decided that they had to turn 50 in November.
Yeah.
And it's for the 50th birthday.
And hey, you don't have to celebrate your damn birthday on the date.
No.
Grow up.
Right.
You could celebrate that shit anytime. You could celebrate it a month later, a month early.
It's disrespectful.
Yeah, at our age, who gives a shit? It's like, I'm 50. Oh, I got to celebrate it on that day. No, you don't. Uh-uh. It ain't like you're going to die at 50 in one day. No, you're probably going to live to be at least 50 in 10 days, 20 days. That'll get you right past the rut.
Yeah.
Or, hey, in 10 days, I'm turning 50. Let's celebrate then. No. I'm not sure if I blame the person as much as the parents as much for having the child in during the rut.
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, you got to blame somebody, but I just, you know, I don't know who to put it on.
I'm thinking anybody but me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not your fault.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I don't hold you responsible for that.
Good. Glad to hear.
Yeah.
So my wife says that she found something for you and I.
Uh-oh.
That she wanted to give to us. And she wasn't sure if she wanted to just wrap it up and have us open it here together while we're recording, or if she wanted to tell me what it was and then me just not tell you and then share it with you here today.
Hmm.
She elected to do the first one and wrapped it up. So I have no idea what it is.
You have no idea either,
no
huh?
clue, no.
Oh, shit.
Now she's changed into the, I think this is dumb. You guys are going to think it's dumb. I don't know. She came across whatever this is, and she thought of you and I. So
that's pretty sweet.
She wants us to open it on the air.
So all right.
Let's open it.
I'm scared. Because Mary is...
There it is.
...related to you.
Even wrapped in deer paper.
Okay. I'll get one side, you get the other here.
Okay, I was just going to let you do the honors there, but that's okay.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Is it going to require a knife?
No. Oh, it's a box.
It's a box. Sweet.
Oh, wait, there's something in it.
Who can't use a box?
Paper. More paper.
What do we got in there?
What do we got?
I hope it don't bite because I can't see where my hand's reaching. Are they ornaments? I think they're ornaments.
Yeah.
Antler ornaments. Those are cool.
Oh, hell yeah. Listen. There's bells on it.
Nice.
Hell yeah. That's going on the Christmas tree.
Those look good. I like them.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you, Mary.
It's even got a hemp rope as the hanger, you know, kind of goes with the antlers, right?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Very nice.
I like them.
Very cool. Hell yeah, that's going up. And she was worried that we wouldn't like this?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Or that we would think it's dumb.
Psh, never.
I think it's awesome.
That falls right in with the blue line badassery, because that's badass.
It is.
Yeah. Minus the blue line, but hey, that's buck badassery right there.
Buck badassery.
Buck badassery. That's awesome. I'll have to send her a message later.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much.
We're going to miss next week.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
One of us had to skip the country, so we're going to have to miss a show.
Now, we will have Todd down next Friday. So when you get home Saturday or Sunday, if you got a free time,
yep.
I could bring the Great Gatsby over here and we can we could jump into our first podcast with an actual live guest.
Okay. Well, that's what that's set up there for. I got the microphone ready to go.
If you have free time. I know you're going to be getting back from vacation. So
plug right in and we'll let her rip, tater chip.
Hell yeah.
I don't see any reason why we can't make... Well, you guys are gun hunting, though.
It gets dark at 5. We can come over afterwards. We can make a night of it and have a couple adult beverages after dark, because that's when you don't have a problem.
Right.
If you drink after dark, you're not an alcoholic. If you drink during the day...
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that that was the rule.
It is.
Yeah.
If you're on Alyssa time.
What Supreme Court ruling was that?
I think the case number was like 442-384. I can't remember the exact title of it, though.
Yeah.
I know the case number. I just can't remember the title.
I'll look it up.
Yeah.
Well, let's do dry fires your bow.
You go first, because you told me something earlier, and you're like, that's not even what gets me. There's something worse. And the first thing got me a little bit, and it wasn't even dealing with me. So I'm kind of curious on your dry fire here.
Yeah, it's MediaCom Internet Service.
Ooh.
So where we live, we don't have very many options for internet.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just basically screwed out here. And when we first got here, MediaCom didn't even run out here. It didn't come this far. So, you know, a couple years later, I reached back out to them again, and they're like, well, we can do it, but we're going to have to trench you a line, and you're going to do this, that, and the other, and set up a hub, and whatever the hell all that talk is that I don't understand.
Yeah.
And they did, and they got us on. Well, we stream everything. We don't have cable or satellite or anything like that. We just stream our TV services. Okay. And my wife and I are Yellowstone fans, the Kevin Costner series, if you haven't seen that. And the season, I take it by the look on your face, you have not.
No.
The season premiere was Sunday night.
And I did see all the hype on the,
yeah,
everyone blowing up.
It's been delayed and delayed and delayed, and I'm assuming due to the COVIDs, but it finally premiered Sunday night, and we couldn't wait to finally get to it and see it. And especially with the cliffhanger that they left us off of last season. Anyway, I digress. I had a feeling, and I think I even said to her out loud, it's going to screw up. the internet's going to screw up. We're not going to be able to see it because it always does.
Always when you want it.
I cannot sit down in the morning and watch Fox and Friends on Fox News without it buffering or saying lost connection, or it's just constantly. And I know what we pay for this internet service mm-hmm. every damn month.
Yeah.
I should have good, reliable internet.
Yep.
And Yellowstone, we tried to turn it on, and, well, it was playing the last episode from the last season first. So when I turned it on, we caught the last couple minutes of that,
mm-hmm.
and that was on there. And then right before it moved into the new episode, out it goes.
Mm-mm.
Came back on. It was about 10 or 15 seconds into it. Went out again. And it reached a point to where we had no signal. We had no internet. We kept turning it off, back on again. We were 10 minutes into it, and I was getting pissed, and I'm like, I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to pick it up 10 minutes into it when I need to know what happened.
Oh, yeah.
From where it left us off last season. And of course, that's going to tell you in the first 10 minutes, right?
Yeah. They're not going to wait till 20 minutes in and be like, oh, so by the way.
I was pissed off, mm-hmm. and I couldn't figure out how to pull it up and make it work. Couldn't rewind it, nothing like that. So my wife insisted that she was going to still try to watch it, even if she didn't pick it up till halfway through it, which made no sense to me, but hey, she does her.
Mm-hmm.
I then get to look in, and I'm like, okay, it's actually on demand also. So I wonder if I go click the on demand, if it'll start it from the beginning. So this was, 45 minutes into the episode now that I figured this out. So I go in there, and I get it loaded up, and I go to the on-demand, and I click it, and it starts playing, and I told her, look who just saved the day. I saved the day.
Yeah. You're the hero.
Yeah, I'm the hero. We got 30 minutes into it, and out it went again.
Oh, Lord.
So.
Even after you got to start over the beginning.
Yes.
Yeah, nice.
So I was pissed, and I mean, it's... This isn't an isolated incident. We've had this issue for years with Mediacom, and I don't know why. I mean, the next house that you come to going that way is a friend of Mary's, a coworker of Mary's, and she has Mediacom, and she texted Mary and said hers is working perfectly fine.
Really?
I don't know, because they had to run our line separately, and so I don't know if we're not even connected to hers or on a separate hub.
Yeah.
I don't know how all that works. But what I do know is the internet doesn't work here.
Yeah, you need something to be fixed.
It never really has. So, but we have no other options. You know, we've tried different things. We tried, Verizon had like something that comes through like their cell signal. Or
you put it in your house?
Yeah.
I think it's my parents have, because they live like in the woods.
Yeah, it never worked worth a shit either. We tried what my mom and dad have out there. I can't remember what it's called right off the top of my head, but theirs is mounted to a water tower. It's like a satellite dish that's mounted on a water mm-hmm. tower, and that's how it gets their signal. And they've had good luck with it.
Really?
I reached out to them one time. They said, well, because we're in the woods, there's no clear signal, so it's not going to work there. They drove out and looked, I guess, and he said, no, it's just not going to work there. You don't have a clear enough signal. So we're stuck with Mediacom, man.
You got a pretty big opening right here that's not in the damn woods. I get it. There's woods, there's woods, there's woods. But this big-ass open section right here is no woods.
I don't know.
It shouldn't be doing that.
It's just what they told us.
I'll have to find out what we have. I think it's like, I'm not even going to make up shit because I don't want to give somebody good credit. And then, you know what I mean? Someone buys it and's like, man, Mike's a dick. This place sucks. I don't want to do that. But I'll find out who we have, because we've, every once in a while, but never during a show. You know what I mean? It's not like, you know, like sometimes we'll go to get on Netflix and it'll, you know, buffer out, turn off, and then I got to, you know, it'll go through the system, come back on, but then it plays fine.
Yeah.
But that's just once in a great while.
Well, we unplug our modem and plug it back in at least mm-hmm. once a day.
At least, see, no.
Just to reboot the whole thing.
We've done ours like once or twice in the last year.
And it just pisses me off. And the other thing I don't understand is we have a range extender in our garage. So the modem, whatever you call the damn thing,
mm-hmm.
Is in our office in the house. Well, I never really got good internet signal out here where we're at. So I bought a range extender, and it's in the garage. And ever since we put that in the garage, I get internet out here. And I can even get it in the woods when I'm hunting.
Nice. Just not in your front room when Yellowstone comes
out. Well, what I don't understand is the range extender, which is using the same internet signal, it's just pushing it out further,
yeah,
is stronger than the actual home base signal. So the home base signal in there, I pointed it out last night to her, had like 2 bars, and the extender had like 4.
Yeah, that's a little backwards.
I don't get
it. There's a problem there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Mediacom, you piss me off and dry fire my bow.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. With me, I never realized, I guess, how many grown-ass men are using crossbows and saying that they're bow hunting. I did the air quotes again because this is coming back
shooting a rifle with a bolt.
This is coming back to my damn dry fire from 2 weeks ago with the shotgun hunters. Okay, that I'm a hunter. I go out there 6 days a year. No, you're not a damn hunter. Shut up. But I've been looking at these sites because, like I said, I posted the deer I shot on the Southern Illinois page and the Illinois bow hunting page. And, you know, I get a lot of, you know, comments from it and stuff, but I'll scroll through their site and I'm like, oh, that's a nice deer. And then the next picture he's got his crossbow laying next to it with him. Oh, there's a nice deer. And the crossbow. And then on top of these people, grown men, using crossbows, they're shitty shots. With a damn crossbow, with a scope. I mean, what are they shooting, 100 yards? I mean, if they're shooting that shitty and those deer are within 30, 40 yards, they really need to just put the shit down, pick up a latte, and go in the house and watch some damn 90210 from, you know, back in the day. Just sit back and relax because they don't need to be hunting if they can't shoot that clear with a damn crossbow. I mean, it's just... all these pictures. We were up north. We went to Todd always takes us to this little bow shop there. We were looking for something because he put a ground blind up this year. And first day I went, I hunted it, and I had to put my bow on the ground because he's got nothing in there to hold it. So I'm like, well, I got all kinds of movements, bending over, pick that up, stand back up for this deer not to see me. So we went to go look, see if there was some kind of bow holder we could get just to hold the bows up from not laying on the ground. And there's this guy in there, and I'm going to be generous and say 25 to 30 years old, stocky guy, you know what I mean? Definitely not out of shape, not old, not, you know, handicapped, and not under the age of 12, okay? And he was buying a crossbow. Not a bow, a crossbow. And then he's talking about his hunting property and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, the only thing you need is a box of tampons because you're a bitch. You are not a man. He's buying a crossbow at 25 to 30 years old. I'm like, get a goddamn compound bow and man up.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, when they first made it legal, I was like, oh, okay. You know, I bought one. My son uses it. You know what I mean? He's 12. Okay. He's killed 2 deer with it. And I've told him, enjoy this hunting season. He's like, why? I said, because for Christmas, you're getting a compound. And next year, that's gone. You know what I mean? Next year, you should be able to pull back enough weight to stick it through a deer at 13 and you're golden. No more crossbow. And he's like, oh, okay. Okay. You know what I mean? At 12, he's man enough to realize, hey, I'm kind of cheating with this thing. You know what I mean? It's like shotgun season year round. It's a joke. That's what dry fires my bow. I didn't realize how many people were using crossbows. You know, I know people bought them. Like, I bought mine with the intention, okay, when it's like 3 degrees outside, I'm going to sit in a blind and I might use that because it's too damn cold for me to be grabbing my bow and have my hand freeze to it and stick to it. But I just came up with the theory, I'm not going to hunt when it's that cold. I don't care. But yeah, couldn't believe it.
Well, remind me off the air to tell you a story about something that ties into what you just said.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Yeah. So I dry fires my bow a little bit. My compound bow.
Hey.
It doesn't dry fire my crossbow.
Saw what you did there.
Thanks.
Man, I'd hate to see a crossbow dry fire. Holy shit.
I'd be messy.
That one that we reviewed?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny that you just went off on a crossbow tangent and we did a review on a crossbow.
Yeah.
That one you can't dry fire. If it doesn't have a bolt in it, it will not allow you to take it off safety.
That's how the one that Jimmy uses is. Because I tried pushing it off safety, and I realized that the arrow wasn't far enough back. Yeah. Once I pulled it out and pushed it back in, the safety came off.
It's pretty cool that they have it set up that way. That's good. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michael, congratulations on your buck, man.
Thank you, sir.
It's a good deer. Proud
Thank
of you.
Thank you.
And speaking of shooting your bow, get out, shoot them.
Yeah.
Get out and hunt them.
Take your kids out.
Get the kids out.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode of Badassery. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. Tim and Mike will take you back down range for more bow hunting content.